Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this third Sunday in Lent, Oculi, is our gospel text, St. Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 28. I'm going to focus on verse 28. But he said, but I will also read other portions as we go. But these are the words of the Lord, and so we pray. May the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing unto you, O Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whatever argument you may hear, whatever logic is, was, and will be applied, whatever other explanation is given for all of this, and what we do in this place, as well as everything else that makes up the church militant here on earth, a place like this, right smack in the presence of all and every naysayer, detractor, unbeliever, and outright dangerous enemy, we say to them and to our wavering and weak faith, but if it is by the finger of God that Jesus cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. What happened to the universe a little over 2,000 years ago? What has been given to it, to us, placed here, put into our lives? You see, it's either true or it isn't. As St. Paul says, if this is not all true, then we are to be pitied above everyone else. And I mean all true. As it holds together, it fits. If it is by grace through faith, then it's not of works, not of our doing, not a choice, not because we are this or that or good or able. Else we are still in the place everyone else is, in the same lost condition, dead in our sins, says St. Paul, because we have always will fail. So all of it must for any of it to be true. If you cannot trust the creation accounts, if there is a doubt whether Jesus was born of a virgin, if we question the miracles that he did, or if he really was dead and then rose on the third day, if we question those things, if Jesus was only a man and not God, then nothing else is true. And we should just give up. Go home. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow, most certainly. Well, because then nothing is really done. No, we haven't done anything wrong. And nothing has been left undone. Who's to say this or that should have been done? Who is your judge if this isn't truly true? None of it matters in the end. No, not all. Not one bit. So all those people who ignore a part of Scripture, it's merely a cultural thing and God does not really mean it to apply to us, or worse, and say that no part is the Word of God, to just toss out the whole Bible then, as it will and cannot do anyone any good. No, not unless all of it is God's Word. I mean, who's going to say one part isn't, well, not you, me? Who do you trust? Jesus' point about the devil applies to God's own kingdom, you see. If it is whole and consistent, if he says one thing at one time and something else entirely some other time, or the opposite or at another, it all falls apart. And there is no sure place for faith to stand on. No foundation to build a life or church upon. And then there is not much hope. If anything is left, And it is even weaker than if we went with trying to work hard. Everyone agrees that God wants us to be moral and to help our neighbors. I mean, that's something that's better than some kind of weak, wishy-washy thing that people try to do. Well, at least we thought so. I mean, at least people used to think that way and told everyone that people ought to be at least decent, right? But whatever the current cultural moral climate is, that a few more, even a little, move in that direction, and when it looks like it, you know, we get our hopes up that there is a nicer corner of sunshine somewhere, it ends up being just surface stuff for the most part, and it doesn't ever last. I mean, New York was a nice place after 9/11 for just I worked in New York City for a bit. I was there for 2.5 years working in that area. After 9/11, it was different. People were nicer. They were considerate. They it wasn't the same place for a while. And it went back to being New York City. It never lasts too long. But if it is by God, by the finger of God, if holy baptism does save, if holy absolution does declare there and then, I mean right there and then, just a few minutes ago, that our sins are forgiven, and it is so because of those words proclaimed right there for us, if the words of Scripture from law kills and the words of Scripture from the gospel produces faith for eternal life, if these words of God preached to you here and now bring you to salvation, if the words of the liturgy taken from Scripture, because that's what they all are, if the hymns sung containing law and gospel, if the body and blood of Jesus with the bread and wine do forgive sins, bring and strengthen faith, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Did God really say that? He said all that. And it is all true. And it must all be believed to be of value. Because that is how the kingdom of God has come upon you and me and on and into the world after Jesus rose from the dead. He is the Word made flesh. And He then, after rising to fill the universe in that flesh and body, no, He doesn't have His body tucked away somewhere in heaven. All of Him. You can't separate Jesus from God. He filled the universe in that flesh and blood body. He sends it into the church to be read and heard, to be put into water and bread and wine for us, so that it continues to keep coming upon us. That is why Jesus told that woman, the one paying him in our text, paying him that supposedly wonderful compliment to him. Verse 27, and he said these things, as he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." Jesus says, "Wait, no, lady, not really." Because really the truth is, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Because even the other Mary could not hold on to Jesus after he rose from the grave. You remember that scene Easter morning? She recognizes that here he's there. And so she reaches out. She wants to cling and keep him and not let him go because, well, he left. And he was the answer. He was the means by which all things for life, for this life and the next, were to be. That's where you got it. That's where you get everything. So don't go away. I don't want you to go away. But Jesus tells her she cannot. Not do her any good that way. We can't hold on to him like that. Better to hold on to him in word and sacrament after he ascended, because he will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to bring him, Jesus, to her and to us. As that is where he comes to us. Now, all the time, comes upon us, goes to the very core of us, and remains. I am with you always, to the very ends of the earth. That's his promise. And this through the inspired word of God, heard and believed and kept as his mother did. Remember that? She stored up all these things and said about Jesus in her heart. Keeping God's word is less about doing works. We tend to do that. We think that's about keeping the law when we hear that, keeping God's word. No, keeping his word is believing it with the faith provided in its hearing. God's word is hearing and then taking it to heart, believing it. That is what turns it into action, because it reorients ourselves to think like him, to act like him. And this is done over our entire lives. So read, hear, believe, think about, meditate upon, working it about, working through, believing, and repeating this again. Then this is what causes us to act upon it in the way God prescribes. We must become biblically minded, heart-filled with his word people, believing what he says before we can apply it and ever do it. And this is the very finger of God in each of our lives. This is how the devil is thrown out, and this is how the kingdom of God has come upon you. It has this very day. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.